Good afternoon, everyone. It's good morning, but that's okay. It's only 3 minutes. And that clock's probably wrong, right? No, I doubt it. I was supposed to do an update on Julie Goggler. They say she's improving. I don't know how much. Is she able to talk yet?
She can walk with holding somebody's hand for about 100 feet. She's started to talk somewhat, even over the phone, and she can feed herself pretty much. It's with her left hand mostly. They said it was kind of messy yet, but she's doing it.
Oh, that's wonderful news. I mean, she couldn't do anything. She had I forget what it was exactly, but then she got something, and then she got a stroke, and she's only 30 or so.
30. She just turned 36.
36, so she's very young. She's one of our relatives. And she has three children, if I remember right, or else four. Three children. Okay. Well, I hope you all had a very wonderful week. I thought I'd give you a little update from my dad. He's getting weaker with his age and his conditions that he has, and so if you could pray that, you know, God would strengthen him and help my mom and dad to be in a positive frame of mind and attitude, and I'm sure the end isn't too far off. So he's 91 years old. He has numerous diseases, well, Parkinson's and congestive heart failure, and he's just getting weaker and weaker. He only weighs about 76 pounds. And he was 2 inches taller than I. So he's just end of life. Body's wearing out. So if you could pray for that, that everything would go well and God would be merciful. I was looking at these flowers, and our lilacs at home are blooming. We have white ones and purple ones too, and the aroma is wonderful. But this one here, we always called it a snowball bush. I have a bush like that now. It was my grandma's. It was at her home, and it's just, this year is just full of blooms. I haven't seen it that much with blooms for years. That's just wonderful. The title of my sermon today is Being Thankful. Got this idea from someone in the congregation. I asked them what they would like to hear spoken on, and they said, thankfulness. And being thankful and showing praise and thankfulness to God. I started out, I figured I'll give you a little insight. I said, in our day and age we live in, we see a lot of individuals who are selfish. They're self-seeking, self-willed, and self is number one. And if we're not careful, that attitude rubs off on us. We see this in women, not all of them, who abort their unborn children because they're too young. They make excuses they're too young. It'll interfere with the plans I have with my life and what they want to do. We see the fathers of these children, also not all of the men, but some of them, they don't want to take care of or support the child that they have coming along. They only are thinking of themselves. We also see this self-centeredness in physical things that people have. They go after the physical material things that are in life. They go after a higher paying job, and which isn't wrong, but if it's a priority above everything else, if just selfishness, then it could be possibly wrong. Many are not happy with where they are in life. They're sad. They're discouraged. And they don't like the jobs they end up having when they do get them. I wish they weren't in that field. Life is not about money, how much money you make. It's not about what all the material things that you gain in life. It's not being about selfishness at all. It's about what God has taught us to live and His way of life. You can't take any of your money with you when you die or the material things that you possess throughout your life. When you die, a lot of other people get your things. And they're all gone. What you thought was important isn't important anymore. If they don't want to be selfish, self-seeking, and self is number one, there has to be something else that is more rewarding than that in life. Let's go to Psalms 90 and verse 12. So we'll start with Psalms. Psalm 90 and verse 12. Notice what it says here. So teach us to number our days. Psalms 90, verse 12, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercies, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us. So we should be happy with what we have. The years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. So teach your children. And verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the works of our hands for us. Yes, establish the works of our hands. So he's telling us something. We're to learn to rejoice and to be glad for the life that God has given to us. And we should be very thankful for the many blessings God has given to us. Today I like to look at the subject of being thankful. That means not complaining, not being dissatisfied with what God has given us. We should be thankful for all the things. I know we all have problems and there's difficulties in our lives. But we need to be thankful for what God has given to each of us. But God is still with us and God is blessing us. We're to thank our loving Father by doing so and keeping us in a proper... If we thank our loving Father and we do this in a proper... It'll help us to keep us in a proper frame of mind and attitude. It's very important. And then self won't be number one. Let's look at what God tells us in His Word about thanking God for everything and where we are in life and being satisfied with what He has given us. We're going to go through a bunch of scriptures now of God's Word. And we're going to see the different characteristics that he talks about of being thankful. We'll start in Psalm 116. Psalm 116 and verse 12. In Psalm 116 and verse 12 it says, O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. So he's telling us, do we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Do we do that for all his wonderful gifts and benefits that he gives to us? Or do we become lax? I become lax in that at times. So next one to look at is in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2. In verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. It says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for the salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. So we're to be thankful for the truth. Let's read on to verse, or just that one verse. It says, and so, and what did I write? So are we thankful for what God has given us of opening our minds to His truth? Let's go to Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Notice what it states here about being thankful. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, it says, give thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to submit to one another in the fear of God. So here we're to give thanks always for everything that God has given us. And we're to do it by asking through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at some examples of Jesus Christ when he was on this earth that he set for each of us as individuals. Let's go to John 6, verse 10. John 6, verse 10. John 6, and verse 10, it says, then Jesus said, make the people sit down. He's about ready to feed a gathering of people. You all know this account. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, his disciples distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So that when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is left. So we notice here that Christ gave thanks. He set us all an example that we should give thanks each time we eat a meal. I know it was also a miracle that he intervened and made the fishes and the bread go much farther than what it should have. But he gave thanks to God, and we should follow that example as well in our lives each time we eat a meal. Let's go to Matthew 11 and verse 25. Matthew 11 verse 25. And notice what Jesus says here. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seems good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus thanked his Father for the truth. Do we thank God each day for the opening our minds to his truth? Or do we sometimes just take it for granted and go on to the next thing? We're so busy in our life. Or do we take it each day as to be very thankful to him, for our Father, for opening our minds to his truth? Let's go to Matthew 15. Just a few pages over in verse 32, Matthew 15, 32. Notice what Christ stated here in Matthew 15, 32. Now Jesus called his disciples together and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? And Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Seven loaves and a few fish. So he commanded them all to sit down on the ground, just like he did before. And he took seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and disciples gave it to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up seven baskets of fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. So this is talking of probably 10,000 people. And he sent away the multitude, got into a boat and came to the region of Magdala. So here Jesus gave thanks before he had the food again, before he ate. So he did it twice. Asked God for a miracle to have enough food to feed these all. So we should always be thankful for all the blessings of food, of the nourishment, the blessings of the increase of the land that God has given us, the rain in due season, and the things along that line. Let's go to Matthew 26. Christ gives another example. This is talking about when he changes the symbols for the Passover. Notice in Matthew 26 and verse 26. And they were there eating, and at the end of the meal, and he says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. So here he thanks God for the opportunity. He sets the bread and the wine apart and for a special meeting, which we all understand, for Passover. So, but he gives God, goes to God, and gives thanks again. Let's go to John 11. John 11, verse 32. John 11, 32. This is about Nazareth. Now when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind, who had kept those men from, kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again groaned in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by the time that there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And then he noticed what he says in verse 42. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. And then in verse 43, he says, Lazarus, come forth. Loose him. And in verse 44, he tells him to loose the burial garments from him. So Jesus' habit was always of thanking God when he prayed to his Father. Do we thank God for all the prayers that God the Father and Jesus Christ answer? Sometimes the answer is no, but do we thank him for them? And do we thank him for listening to us each day? Taking his time. Do we thank him for that? Or do we just take it for granted, go on our merry way? Next thing I want to look at is, what are some of the things we should offer thanks to God for? And we'll go through some scriptures now that tell specifically what we should be thanking God for. Let's go to Psalms 30, verse 4. Psalms 30, verse 4. David wrote a lot of these psalms. This is one that he wrote. Notice what he writes in verse 4 of Psalm 30. He says, sing praises to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. So we should be singing to God when we have an opportunity. If we can sing at all, we should sing praises to him and thanks him for all the different things. If we don't have a voice of our singing, God doesn't really mind if we sing out of key. He's the only one that hears it anyhow. But we should give thanks to him. It says, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. So remember what God is, abundance. So we should give thanks for God's holiness. That's the bottom line. Each day we should give thanks for God's holiness. Psalms 50, 14. Look what David says here. Psalms 50, 14. Here in Psalms 50, verse 14, it says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. So we're to give God praise for the blessings that he gives to us. And don't take any of the credits for yourself. We should thank him and give him all the praise, because God gives it all to us. Now, why is this so important? We'll keep going through these, but why is it so important? Well, it's so easy. The person that asked this has difficulty walking. So we take that for granted, don't we? All of us that can walk. But if your back hurts one morning and you can't crawl out of bed so good, then it becomes an issue. And you think, wow, it was such a nice thing to walk around, not think about it. But now that I can't walk because of whatever ailment, my back hurts, or like Denise, her foot is healing from being repaired, you take those things for granted and you just don't think about it. But we should thank God for those simple things that we do. Isn't it wonderful that we have minds that can think and reason? Isn't it great that we have the ability to create things? God has given that all to us. These are some of the things that we should be thankful for as well. Let's go to Psalm 75 now, verse 1. Psalm 75 and verse 1. We'll see some more that David talked about. It says here in Psalm 75, verse 1, he says, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works, declaring that your name is near. So we, for all the wonderful things God has done, think about his creation. Thank God for his awesome creation and the things God does for us each day, things we take for granted. How about the air we breathe? He wouldn't provide it, we wouldn't exist at all. Let's go to Psalm 79, verse 13. Psalm 79, 13. O God, and verse 13, Psalm 79, verse 13. So we, your people, and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. I'll read that again. So we, your people, and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. So for God's goodness and his mercy and for his truth, we should be thankful for. About Psalm, let's go to Psalms 92. Verse 1. Psalms 92 and verse 1. He says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on lutes, and on a harp with harmonious sounds. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your works. I will triumph in the work of your hands. So we're to remember to thank God each day for his blessings he gives you. The good health, a mind to think and reason, the ability to work with your hands, and the willingness to things that you are able to accomplish. And at the end of the day, we should, like he says there, at the end of the day, we're to remember the faithfulness every night. So his intervention in our lives, we should be thanking him for that. Let's go to Psalms 97:12. 97:12. It states here, it says, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, 97:12, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. So we're to remember to show him honor and thank him for his righteous character that he's trying to teach us with. Let's go to Psalm 106, verse 6. Psalm 106, verse 1 through 6. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Eternal? Who can declare all his praises? Blessed are those who keep justice. Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have towards your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefits of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquities. We have done wickedly. So he's talking about Israel, but it can refer to us as well. It says we're to be thanking God for his mercy. And how many times has he intervened in our life and showed mercy to us for our shortcomings? We're to have hope of the future. He's telling us that. Be thankful for that. And the blessing of where we live, the freedoms we have to worship in this nation, and the peace that we have with each other and with the other people around us. Let's go to Psalm 118, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 118 and verse 1 and 2. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. So we're to thank God for his mercy. It never runs out. It seems like no matter what we do in life, if we go back and ask for forgiveness, his mercy is always there to take care of us. His mercy never seems to run out. He is a very merciful God. Go to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, for grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, we've heard this of Holy Day offerings. Let's keep reading, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things and may have an abundance for every good works. So God always provides. So you should thank him for that. He always seems to provide whatever we need. In verse 9, as it is written, he has despised the broad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And then verse 10, how many he who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food? He supplies and multiplies the seeds and you have which you have sown, and increases the fruits of your righteousness. So at this time of year, with the spring coming on, it's you planted a garden. It's always interesting to watch. You plant the seed, and you wait. It rains, gets warm, the seed pops, and it isn't long. It starts to grow. I talked to on the way up from Amanda's about a month ago, and Brian's house. We stopped, and there was an individual at a restaurant in the morning. I guess it was breakfast or whatever. And he was a farmer from Ohio. And I seen him, he put his head down and said a prayer. And I just paused for a second and thanked for the food. But I was sitting there, and he said, oh, I see you're a Christian, he said. And I thought, yeah, that's right, yes. And he said, and he started talking. He talked about his farm. And they were very friendly people, and they were on their way down to see their son in Tennessee. And then I said to him, you know, you don't find too many farmers who don't believe in God. After all, if you plant a seed, it doesn't do anything unless God lets it grow. He made it that way. That's one of the things we should thank him for. Because, like it says here in verse 10, supplies the multitude of seeds you have sown and increases the fruit of your righteousness. It's not just talking about the physical there, he's talking about the spiritual too. But we can't do anything. We can put the seed in the ground, and then we just wait. We clap our hands. We can do anything. We can jump around. People used to do that years ago. They thought they could jump around and do all kinds of things and make it grow. It doesn't do any good. God's the only one that makes it grow. So we should thank him for that. He provides us with food. Let's keep reading in verse 11 now in chapter 9. While you are enriched in everything for all liberalities, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service are not only supplied to the needs of the saints, but also is abound throughout many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for the liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayers for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for he indescribable gifts. So here it's telling you that it says we're to thank God for all his wonderful gifts and also for the miraculous things of like the seed. He provides them. He's very giving to all of mankind. Let's go to Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Here it says in Philippians 4 and verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we're not to be anxious when things don't go right. You've had your things in your life, as I have in mine, where things aren't going well at all and it looks devastating, everything's going to fall apart. But we're not supposed to become anxious, it says. Be anxious for nothing. But it says we're to be pray in everything, we're to pray and with supplication with thanksgiving. So he tells us to always pray to him and show it in thanksgiving and let your requests be known to him. That's what we're to do. That's what he tells us to do. So don't be anxious. We're to ask God in thanksgiving and God will hear and he'll help us through those times. He knows what we need. All we have to do is ask. And don't become anxious. Let's go to Colossians 1, one page over, in verse 12 and 14. We need to do it in thanksgiving. Colossians 1, verse 12. Notice what it says here that Paul writes. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So we need to give thanks to him for that. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So he's opened our minds. In whom we have redeemed through his blood the forgiveness of sin. So thank God for your calling, for opening of your mind. Don't take it lightly, and don't take it for granted. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, just over a page again, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So here it says, ask God to develop his character within you and be thankful always. It's telling us to be thankful. He repeats that over and over again. Do it in thanksgiving. And don't forget what God has done for each of us. Let's go to Colossians 4, 2. We'll read one verse there. Just a couple more pages. Colossians 4 and verse 2. It reads, Colossians 4 and verse 2, says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So do with all your heart, vigilant. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Redeem the time and let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So here he's telling you in two, we're to do it vigorously, to give thanks to God. And then God will help us and encouraging others, pray for others that they can walk in wisdom with those they come in contact with outside, and have them as they would have the right speech, be able to say the right words at the right time to help others. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15. It says, see that no one redeems evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. So don't try to do evil. Somebody does something evil to you, don't do it back. Then verse 16, he says, rejoice always. Always be rejoicing. Then he says, pray without ceasing. And notice verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we're to give thanks because it's the will of God. He wants us to do that to him. God wants us to do that for everything, to give him thanks and to show him thanks and appreciation for what he does for us. But what will that do in turn for us if we do that? Well, we certainly won't think too highly of ourselves, will we? We'll realize that the things we accomplish in life are because he allows us to do it. He gives us the minds, the abilities, the talents, the gifts, and all those things so that we can accomplish the things he wants in our lives. Now let's go to Daniel 2. We're going to look at an example of an individual who applied this, and he always gave thanks to God. Notice how Daniel did it. And we'll start in verse 19 of Daniel 2. This was when the king asked him about his dream. And if I remember right, he didn't remember. And he asked Daniel, and they couldn't, not only the rest could do that, come up with it. So notice what Daniel does in Daniel 2, verse 19. He says, then the secret was revealed. So remember, he prayed and fasted. He had his fellow, the other three that were with him, pray and fast, and he'd be able to understand. And then he says, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So David blessed the God of heaven. David answered and said, notice what David said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. The light dwells with God. I thank you, he says. So notice Daniel's going to give him praise. I thank you and praise you, O God of my Father. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you, for you have made known to us the king's demands. So he thanked God for the understanding, for his plan, what was going to take place. He gave him thanks for the hope, for hope of life, and his truth, and God's truth. He gave him thanks for that as well. That's how we should be, always thanking God, realizing that he provides all. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 now, and verse 55. Here's Paul's writing, jumping into the thought a little bit. And before that, it's about the mystery of the resurrections. Verse 55 says, O death, where is your sting? And he's quoting, O Hades, where is your victory? It's quoting from the Old Testament, Isaiah 25, I believe. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. And then notice what he says in verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we just thank Jesus Christ for being the Savior of all mankind, removing the sin so we have the opportunity to have victory over death and have the possibility of having eternal life. It's easy to not do that. Sometimes we forget. We just take it for granted. We live our life and we go forward. And then we aren't being thankful to God or his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2 now. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. It says, Now thank God, thanks be to God, who always leads us in a triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragments of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are believing, saved, and among those who are perishing. So we are special to God. To the ones who are aroma of death leading to death, and to the others the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for those things? So he's telling us that by opening our minds, that we are a sweet-smelling favor to God when we come to him, and those that don't have their minds open at this time, their aroma isn't as sweet. That doesn't mean God can't open their minds, and he will sometime, and he might be in this life as well. But he says we're set apart, and we're unique at this time because he called us. So we should be very thankful for that. Verse 17, For we are not as so many peddling the words of God, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God and Christ. So we're to be thankful for his wonderful plan for all of mankind, not just ourselves, and for eventually the gift of eternal life. We should be thankful for that. Let's go to Romans 1, verse 8. Romans 1, and verse 8. Romans 1 and verse 8, it says, First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, so Paul's writing, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So Paul was thanking them for what they do. He says, First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout all the whole world. So those brethren, their faith must have been strong. Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make meditation of you always in my prayers. So, what is he telling them? What are we to learn from that? Verse 10, making request, if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. So he says, I'd like to come to you. But he makes a very important point there in verse 9. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. He's telling them that we're to thank God for all of our brothers and sisters that we have, and to be encouraging to them, ask God to help them when they have discouragements, and to encourage them to go forward. That we should be very thankful that we have each other. We can talk to each other. And like the scripture says, iron sharpens iron. We ask questions of scriptural that we don't grasp, we can sharpen each other and make ourselves, help us, each of us, to grow. And to encourage us at times when we need encouragement. And we all need that at times. So we should be very thankful for our brothers and sisters that God has called and that are our brothers and sisters. Be thankful for that. 1 Thessalonians 1. Let's go to there. 1 Thessalonians 1. A couple pages over. First Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, Paul writes, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your works of faith, labor of love, and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing that, beloved brethren, your election by God. So it's just telling us the same thing. We're to be thoughtful of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and to be thanking God for them. They help us in our path of growing and developing God's character. Let's go to Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4. In verse 6. I wrote that down twice. So everybody heard that one. I'll tell you what, you'll probably remember. It says, be anxious for nothing. And you can probably remember the rest I told you. We are to be praying and be anxious for nothing and doing with and being thankful to God. Let your requests be known, made known to him through that way. Always be thankful. I'll read it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds throughout Christ Jesus. So. All right. So we've seen that God, we're to give thanks to God always in all of our lives. And every day that we should be giving thanks to him for multiple things, for our health and for the ability to think and reason, which he has given us. Most of all, for his truth, opening our minds to his truth. We're to be thankful for his mercy, and he's giving mercy to us numerous times. But each of us have our shortcomings, and we all know what they are. We don't. Each individual knows what our shortcomings are. Now in conclusion, let's go to Psalms 116, verse 12. Psalms 116. And we'll start in verse 12. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render to the Eternal for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Eternal, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosened my bonds. You have forgiven me of my sins. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Eternal. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So it's telling us that we have seen and are to pray, and we should be mixing our prayers with thanksgiving to him continually, for thanking that Jesus Christ is our Savior. In many different areas of our life, we should be giving thanks to him. We should not let the world's attitude of self-centeredness and self-number one and self-seeking or material things or wanting a better paying job or all those other things that get into our way and not being satisfied with what we have. We should replace that with thanksgiving to God our Father and his Son Jesus Christ. These last two scriptures now seem to sum this up very nicely and seem to put it all together and make in a very few amount of words. Let's go to Psalm 100 and we'll start reading in verse 1 through 5. Psalm 100, verse 1 through 5. Notice what it says. It says it's a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Eternal, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Eternal, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. It's not going to cease. It's always going to be, and he's finally going to bring his kingdom to this earth, and there's going to be peace and happiness. We should be very appreciative and show that thankfulness for opening our minds to that his truth each day. Let's go to one more scripture in Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. It sums it up as well, the New Testament. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Notice what it says here. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, or thankfulness. That is the fruits of our lips, giving thanks to his name, giving thanks to him. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Don't forget how to get along with other people. Share your fortunes that he's given to you, the blessings he's given to you. Share them with other people. Verse 17, and always remember to be thankful. Verse 17, obey those who rule over you. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and with grief, and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So we go back to verse 16. Do not forget to do good, to share, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. So let us be thankful to God for all he does for us each day. And let us not get caught up into the ways of the world of being selfishness and selfish towards thinking only of ourselves. Let us think of others, and we do that by thanking God for all he's given to us.